Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Last week, I continued my lessons about being in the world and not of it. I called it paradoxology. A paradox is an argument that apparently derives self-contradictory conclusions by valid deduction from acceptable premises. Doxology is an expression of praise to God. So I came up with paradoxology. And we looked at wisdom in being foolish, living by dying, winning by losing, and the first shall be last. Today we will begin with what is perhaps the most unpopular paradox: joy in trials. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And in Matthew, he said, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preached, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not show opposition against an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other toward him also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. And you have heard it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This is also a good case for love not being emotionally based, for whoever feels good about their enemies. Again in Romans 12, Paul says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in your mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never repay evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people, and if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." By the way, that phrase, "heap burning coals on his head," has been grossly misunderstood. He's quoting Proverbs 25, and the word "heap" there is translated in Psalm 52 as "snatch up." It makes so much more sense to say giving a thirsty person a drink will cool his brow. All my life, I've heard Christians say, "I never pray for patience because you know what happens then." This really bugs me. First of all, why would you not want the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is the first word used to describe love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Why would you not want to demonstrate love? I know they're trying to be cute, but there is nothing cute about spiritual growth. Romans 5 says, "We also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." Personally, I want those things in my life. James says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And Peter chimes in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if trials produce perseverance, proven character, hope, endurance, completion, praise, glory, and honor, bring them on. Have you ever heard someone say, you can't outgive God? Well, that's true. But God doesn't necessarily always reward us with material goods. Let's talk about gaining by giving and true riches. Listen to the words of the Savior in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in Luke 16, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it is all gone, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. The one who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And the one who is unrighteous in very little things is also unrighteous in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true wealth to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will love one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. I believe that you will be greeted in heaven by people you never met, but they were reached with the gospel by missionaries you supported, who went to the ends of the earth to share the love of Jesus. You will make friends in eternity with money that would otherwise perish. The currency of heaven is men and women and boys and girls. That's the treasure you want to store up. Paul tells Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Of his own status, Paul says to the Philippians, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my difficulty. You yourselves also know, O Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. but I have received everything in full and have in abundance. I am amply supplied, having received what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. A couple of notes here. The line, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, is in reference to being content with whatever you have. It's not this new age concept, you can do whatever you want or be whoever you want. No, you can be or do whatever God wants. Also, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory doesn't imply that he will give you all of your wants. He will give you all you need. And his riches and glory are anything but material. Someone said, the reason the stories are about the streets of heaven being paved with gold is because the thing that is most valuable in this world is the thing that we walk on in heaven. And this leads us right into the final paradox, eternal versus temporal. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I've heard someone say, don't be so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. Well, I think more often than not, Christians are so earthly minded that they are of no heavenly good. I have spent years pleading with my congregation to have an eternal economy. Don't get too attached to anyone or anything in this life. It's way too short. As a pastor, I have been called on to preach many funerals. I have often quoted these texts from 2 Corinthians. For our light and momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are of good courage, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have this as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Paul's testimony at the end of his run is this: I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. Larry Norman, the godfather of contemporary Christian music, said in one of his songs, I'm only visiting this planet. Well, we are not of this world. Our wisdom is not worldly. Our life begins when it ends. Our loss is our gain. Our greatness is being the least. Our victory is in our suffering. Our economy is not material. Our home is not this world. We are in the world, but not of the world. I'm Jim Barrier, and you've been listening to Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.